Milk Bottle Audio presents The Museum of Tad
and Kitch,
devised by Robert Crichton. So, hello and welcome to this very special edition of The Museum of Tat and Kitch. I'm afraid Colin isn't available today, so you're left with me, Geoffrey Collins, curator of The Museum of Tat and the local library as well. And I'm very lucky to have as our special guest today, Dick Davidson. So,
oh, am I on? Sorry, I was totally asleep then.
Dick Davidson here.
Say the catchphrase. It's in the agreement.
Do I have to?
You have to say the catchphrase.
Okay, so it's Dick Davidson. So give me some Dick.
Because everybody loves Dick.
Yes, Dick is a celebrated professional tat salesman and appraiser, having worked in tat for over 40 years.
20 years.
20 years, really?
10. It ages me a bit.
You must spend quite a lot of time in the sun, then.
No. But I do have a great deal on fake tan.
Really?
Yes. Creosote. Comes up lovely, protects me from all sorts of weather.
Yes. OK, so Dick is here today to tell us about one of his most prized items of tat. So as a professional, please tell us about what is the item that you have with us today.
I'd like to go through with you this particular piece of tat that's becoming very, very popular in the tat world. It is, of course, the plastic duck.
The plastic rubber duck.
The plastic rubber duck. It's not really rubber.
No, no. As opposed to the rubber duck, this is the plastic
rubber duck. Rubber ducks are very expensive. Mm-hmm. Plastic ducks fall into the
plastic
category.
Plastic tucks.
Plastic tucks. Anyway, the rubber duck is, of course, extremely valuable, but I'm not here to talk about value. We're here to talk about
tat.
You see, well, I've been in tat for nearly 20 years. And
20 years,
yeah,
yes.
20 years. And I've seen some pretty awful tat in my time, and some of it is very, very not collectible at all.
Yes.
And this particular duck, very much excites me. Produced in China over a three-year period in the late 1970s, it is absolutely abysmal quality, as you can just feel it. There's no weight, it's thin, it's not particularly good whatsoever. And what really tips the balance on this duck, over all other ducks,
this duck,
this particular duck,
yes,
duck, is the paint job.
Okay,
just look at the print of the eyes. I mean, they haven't even got it straight. I mean, that is just pure, unadulterated tat.
Indeed. And there are various variations on the quality of the eyes because, of course, many, many plastic rubber ducks, the plastic rubber ducks often have just stick-on eyes, stick-on little labels, which, if you're using a plastic rubber duck, it will tend to be in a sort of bathroom setting, and the labels will just peel off.
Absolutely.
And, so, in a sense, that's almost too good.
Well, you want to make sure that your label is off. If the label is on, that will increase the value.
In a sense, the most important thing about this particular paint is, of course, its lead content, which is unusually high.
It is very high.
Yes.
It certainly wouldn't pass regulations today.
Is a real, real shame. So it's mass-produced.
Very much so.
Ubiquitous, we could say.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it can't really fail for a first-time collector, can it?
No, if you want to start collecting tat, this is definitely on your list.
Now, we should stress the first-time collector can sometimes make the mistake of buying one of these that is actually quite good. You know, and that's it takes an expert like Dick here.
Catchphrase.
Give me some Dick.
Everybody loves some Dick.
It takes an expert like my guest to find the really worthless ones.
Well, you won't have to go far. Pretty well every charity shop in Britain will have one of these knocking about somewhere.
But, as we say, nearly worthless, but that brings us to the reason, actually, why you're our guest today.
Yeah. Well, the price of these briefly went up when a shipping container of plastic ducks was lost at sea. That was a terrible year for me. In 1992, it's probably the gin taking effect. In 1992, my entire collection nearly gained whole pounds overnight, and its value shot just because of this bloody container. It's a plastic dazzler.
So in 1992, a particular make of plastic bath toys, these particular ducks were made famous by an oceanographer. Who actually used these plastic ducks, these plastic rubber ducks. Plastic rubber duck made of plastic. Because when they were lost at sea, when these three shipping containers of plastic toys were lost at sea, they were spread out across the ocean wide, and he used the floating ducks to chart the way tidal movements work around the world. So these three containers contained 29,000 plastic yellow ducks, red beavers, blue turtles and green frogs, and they washed into the Pacific Ocean in 1992.
All of a sudden, beaches around the world were inundated with ducks.
Rubber ducks, plastic ducks.
Next thing you find is these online auction sites. People saying, I found my duck on a beach in Nova Scotia. It's up for $4. Then some idiot bids on it. Next thing you know, the whole internet is awash with rubber ducks going at stupid money because it was found on some beach in Honolulu.
And some of them travelled over 17,000 miles.
About as many miles as I do every year. Travelling Britain looking for real quality tat.
This oceanographer suddenly decided to use them for something useful. By charting them round the world, they suddenly gave plastic rubber ducks, a utility. And so they just float around in the sea, slowly bleaching themselves white and releasing chemicals into the water, and therefore slowly destroying the planet. So in that sense, they've gone through a process of becoming useful and then returned once again to being not just unuseful, but also actively harmful. And we call that in the field the tat cycle, or the cycle of tat, depending on whether you went to America or not. And that makes a huge difference.
It does, because to be honest with you, in my field and my experience, I'm always looking for tat that has no value, no use, and no residual use. It has had no impact on society other than just being bloody annoying.
And is likely to kill you.
Yeah.
Or more importantly, the planet.
It's probably the planet. If it kills people, it becomes useful. It's a plastic dazzler.
Briefly, in 1992, of course, these pieces of tat did gain some value, and that was awful for you, wasn't it?
But two wonderful things did occur. Original moulds were sold off absolutely cheap as crap. And now there's a whole new line of badly made plastic rubber ducks out there. And the best thing is, if you get a new duck and you get an old duck and compare them, if you turn them over, you can still see the flaw in the original mould is still there. They're still producing the same old tat.
But you made a discovery last week, something else to depreciate the value of your ducks.
I was at this industrial estate somewhere north of Weybridge, where they discovered a whole new wing to the distribution centre. No one knew was there. It was a very, very significant discovery. It simply remained sealed away since at least 2004. There were ancient markings on the door that suggested that at some point it had been sealed away by some high priest of some little-known deity. We were very, very excited about it, I remember. There were laminated instructions. You can see, just tell by my voice, I'm so excited about this. The laminated instructions of these lost people said to ring Dave if you had a problem with the alarm.
Lamination. Surely signs of a high-level civilization.
Oh, absolutely, exactly. But once we had broken in, we found a whole warehouse, are you ready for this, full of plastic rubber ducks. Not just any plastic rubber ducks, but returned plastic rubber ducks, recalled because they tended to catch fire in direct sunlight. That was what was on the label.
So depreciating further in value.
Oh, yes. The market is about to be flooded, making my modest collection practically worthless.
And discussion of the levels of worthlessness can be found on our blog with the Bristol Worthlessness Chart to explain absences in value.
Taz Facts! The popular image of the rubber duck, as we know it and love it, was created by the sculptor Peter Ganning in the 1940s. This was patented and reproduced as the plastic floating toy we know and love. Ted Facts.
Novelty variants are produced in vast quantities every year to destroy the planet where possible. Some people collect these variants to keep them out of the ecosystem and because they were touched as children.
Ted Facts. Inveterate gamblers race rubber ducks as an excuse to exercise their problem. Like all gambling, these races use the pretext of charity. Tat Facts.
The Museum of Tat has a collection of over 6,000 rubber plastic ducks. We don't know where they are.
Tat Facts. That was Tat Factious.
So, going on a slight tangent here, what effect does the end of civilization as we know it by Tat, what effect does that have on the Tat market?
Well, there are some groups worldwide that would love to see the end of civilization using Tat.
Mm.
But of course, then what that happens is Tat has an intrinsic value to these individuals.
Mm.
And what that does, it kicks the backside out of the market.
But if everybody is dead, and human civilization has reverted at best to a primitive hunter-gatherer society, will there be a Tat market at all?
Well, in my years of experience, what that would lead to is a huge proliferation of Tat, of stuff that we have at the moment that simply wouldn't be viewed as Tat. So even things like the normal four-seat family car to a hunter-gatherer is completely and utterly useless, and therefore it falls into the category of Tat, unless the hunter-gatherer can break the vehicle up and use parts for other tools.
And that's the fundamental ingenuity of any surviving human species.
And then as soon as you have utility in Tat, Tat becomes valuable, and therefore you lose the entire point of being Tat in the first place. Cheap as crap.
And, of course, you're a major manufacturer of Tat, as I seem to be legally obliged to mention, with your latest book.
Oh, yes, I have a wonderful book, Everybody Loves Dick. It's all about the collection of Tat worldwide. Everybody Loves Dick. It's a great book. If you haven't got a copy, you do need to go out and buy it. Everybody Loves Dick. It gives you all the things you need to know about Tat. And I don't have enough time to explain to you today, but it is just a fantastically interesting book.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody loves dick.
And you've give me some dick.
Absolutely.
So you've even managed to make sure that the book is actually partly made out of non-recyclable plastic, making
Absolutely.
Sure that it is an eternal piece of Tat for all the ages.
Yes.
Guaranteed to depreciate in value.
Well, this is the idea. The idea was, when I spoke to the publishers, they initially wanted to do an initial print run of 50,000 copies. I said to them, look, if you're going to do this, let's do this properly. Go for the jugular. Let's print 5 million copies. No one's going to buy them all.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
They're going to be stuck on bookshelves.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find them in the discount book buyer market. You'll find them on eBay at 99 pence. Mm-hmm. And no one's going to be wanting to buy them.
And in fact, this is true, because nobody has.
No
so
one
far.
Wants to buy them.
No.
So that's it. The beauty is that all of a sudden, as you know, the self-proclaimed king of Tat, which you know I am as a salesman, as a representative, as a collector, my goods have become the real, true epiphany of Tat.
It is true, isn't it? Not that you're in fact the greatest collector of your own book, having them
all
in a big yellow storage warehouse somewhere at near Leeds.
Yes, I do. The idea was to stick it on a container ship and ship it out to America. Once halfway across the Atlantic, we were going to cut a few strings and sort of push a couple of containers off and see if the books actually float around the world see if we can get the same effect that the rubber plastic rubber ducks would do.
Yes, the rubber plastic plastic rubber ducks.
That's the ones. Only problem is then, once they start washing ashore, the book has an intrinsic value.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's important for them to be swallowed by a large percentage of the whale population.
Yeah, that would be a big benefit to the book. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody loves dick, dick, dick. Don't forget, I am back on the television very soon with my new series, which is Big Dicks, Great Deals.
And so that is sadly all we have time for in this special edition of the Museum of Tat. I've been delighted to have as my guest Dick Davidson.
Don't forget the catchphrase.
Give me some dick.
Because everybody loves dick. Everybody loves dick. Dick.
And Dick Davidson is going to be appearing next on ITV12 with Davidson's Give Me Your Money Now.
Absolutely. It's all about the opportunity I've got to make money from your tat.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Can I go to the bar now?
Yes.
I've left orange stains all over the desk.